Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. We like to call it a Motown-esque Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn is at KevinDunn01. And my man BK is at Brad Keltner in the Twitterverse. All right, gentlemen, the NFL, a lot of storylines in the NFL, and one of them is the fast approaching NFL trade deadline, which is coming up. And I know nobody's really talking about this with my Houston Texans, but I heard E. Hogan talk about it. So, but he's a Houston Texans fan. So anybody outside of a Houston Texans fan that talks about this, but there are going to be some big moves made in that Houston Texans organization pretty soon. The word on the street is that they need draft picks and they don't have any draft picks. This usually they would get a really high draft pick this year because they're going to be really bad, but that's not going to be the case because they traded away their draft picks for Laremy Tunsil and traded away a lot of future draft picks for Laremy Tunsil and to acquire the players for the vision of Bill O'Brien, who they just ousted as GM and head coach. So pretty soon here, they're going to start a straight-up fire sale.
Yeah.
And they got to do it around the trade deadline here. Pretty soon, you'll start hearing the whispers. And the truth is, I believe everybody, and I know it sounds crazy, everybody except for Deshaun Watson, Laremy Tunsil, and maybe J.J. Watt are pretty much going to be up for trade. Or if you want them kind of at bargain basement value too, because they just need draft picks. They're going to rebuild the organization. Right now, they don't have any draft picks to do it with.
No,
And they're leveraged salary cap wise because they have the most expensive roster
right.
in the league. They don't have any way to get better other than selling off some of their assets.
They have to sell. The question is, what do they get back for it? But I wouldn't shock me to see the Patriots go after Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
I think both middle linebacker, inside linebackers. I mean, Zach Cunningham is someone who is appealing.
Whitney Merciless.
Whitney, yeah. I mean, literally, I'm looking at an article from Jason LaConfora, and he's got Cooks going to the Patriots, Cunningham going to the Eagles, Merciless going to the Niners.
Wow.
And this is not an article just on the Houston Texans fire. So it's not, because if you go through it, but half of it feels like Texans leaving.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Texans are in a
Belichick
really, really bad spot.
Belichick would get a deal with Cooks back.
Of course. Of course he would. Probably for like a seventh round pick, too.
It's like the opposite of the Phil Collins deal, getting her back.
Yeah. The Texans are in a really, really tough spot. You mentioned the lack of draft picks, but also they have more money invested in their current roster than any team in football. So they have no financial flexibility moving forward. So they can't sign free agents this offseason, and they can't draft players this offseason, at least first or second rounders this offseason. So that's a really, really bad place to be in. I mean, Bill O'Brien went total win now. He went all in on this vision to try to win this year, and obviously that's not happening for the Texans. They're 1-5, and they fired him.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
No,
like
it's funny because that's exactly what he did. He literally doubled down and went all in. And I'm not going to lie, I thought it would be, I didn't think it'd be 1-5. I thought it'd be, the division.
Me too.
With his vision. And no, this is the worst product that Bill O'Brien had ever put out there. And yeah, it just imploded. And I think they're going to sell off a lot of these parts. And Zach Cunningham, who just signed it, he just signed a deal, right?
He just signed it, yeah.
So they need to get rid of big contracts, so that'd be great. Brandon Cooks, I wouldn't doubt if Randall Cobb ends up for a team that needs a receiver right now, the Bears or somebody. Will Fuller for a team that needs a receiver right now to help them, and I think the Bears are in that category too. If you're the Texans, you need to start calling teams and just seeing what they need.
It makes sense to get rid of some of those guys, right? Will Fuller in the final year of his rookie contract.
Yep.
Randall Cobb, that was a horrible contract in general. I mean, I think he's a good
player. I don't even know if he was ready to get rid of it. I forgot about that.
We said it this offseason when that deal was done. Like, I know he was kind of productive for the Cowboys last year, but to give that guy that type of money made absolutely no sense. And I saw Deshaun Watson, I think he was interviewed after Texans practice yesterday. He was asked about those trade discussions, and he said, quote, "Them boys ain't getting traded. There was something we squashed at the end of practice. Randall's not going anywhere. Nobody is going anywhere. All of that stuff is something we wanted to squash," end quote.
Okay.
Deshaun, I don't think that's your decision, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, Deshaun.
I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to give up on the season and go full fire sale because he probably believes that, hey, you know, maybe we could get some things going here as the season progresses. Whether or not that's true is a different conversation. But, those aren't Deshaun Watson decisions. He doesn't make the final call on whether or not the team does or does not decide to sell at the deadline.
And by the way, I love you, Deshaun, but that's not what's best for you right now, Deshaun. Keeping this roster together is not going to be good for you long term.
It's not.
You know what I mean? Like, you're, trust me, it's going to lead to you losing faith and trust in the organization if we just stick with the status quo. Cannot allow it to happen. So I love Deshaun, but no, you got to start over, reset it, bring somebody in with a new vision. Yeah, except for keep Deshaun and Laremy Tunsil and maybe J.J. Watt. Maybe.
The worry.
It depends on what. You want J.J. Watt, make me a deal.
Oh, like, right.
Like, make me an offer.
Yeah.
Make me the right offer, and I'll sell you J.J. Watt, but it's got to be a hell of an offer. Because he's a legend.
If you get an offer.
If I get a good offer,
get rid of
him.
He can come back and retire.
I know.
I mean, the Rangers have done this too much. It's like you guys are too sweet and too emotional about this. Have some Belichick sociopath.
That's true.
Murderer in you.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, obviously a huge part of the DeAndre Hopkins deal.
You take J.J. Watt out back and shoot him if it would give him something.
And you know what? J.J. Watt deserves to go win a championship. So, you know what? If the Seattle Seahawks want J.J. Watt, let him go.
Yeah, right.
If you love J.J. Watt,
if you get anything, if you get a fourth rounder out of it.
If you love J.J. Watt, you should let him go. I agree with this. I was being
I would couch it that way.
Now, you know, but you should. He deserves to go win a championship. He's an all-time great player. Let him go win a championship.
Man, what's the reaction going to be in H-Town?
Oh.
You trade DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt within a calendar year, and you don't get a first-round pick in return?
Well, J.J. Watt is not going to get a first-round pick at his age right now.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, a third-round pick would actually be pretty good
value. And after the injuries and everything, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and plus, you're just bringing him in to try and win a Super Bowl, whatever team would right now.
Yeah, but no, BK's right, though. The blowback still.
The blowback would be
a rational fan to think that way. They're
Houston,
not think
bring
that
in
way.
Steve Patterson to make that trade and then let him go. He'll take care of him.
That's a blended.
He has been an executive in the NBA before. Yeah, bring him in.
He's been an executive everywhere for about 5 months.
Yeah, can they bring him in to fire people?
Yeah,
he's a consultant.
That's what he is.
I think he's still working in the NHL for the Yotes.
Of course he is, because somebody needs some dirty work done. You call OG Stevie P. He'll do it.
That franchise might be relocating within a couple of years, so maybe he's part of that deal.
He's the business goon for them in hockey.
He really
is. Oh, man. So it'll be fascinating to watch what happens with the Texans, right? I mean, not the season that they expected to have by any stretch of the imagination. They're 1-5, way far back in that AFC South. What happens? Do they sell off some pieces? Which guys are tradable? Which guys are not? We've got not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after is when the NFL trade deadline hits.
Justin Reed, too, is another player you might want to think about keeping in secondary. I'm talking about foundational pieces to build around. He's a good player in the secondary.
Yeah.
You're not paying Chuck anything, so you keep guys like that.
Yeah, you keep guys on rookie contracts for sure, which Reed and,
that's very
and
true.
Aminu,
right?
You want to keep those guys around as long as
you can. The offensive line is the one you really got to make a decision about, because you re-signed Nick Martin to a long-term deal. I don't know, maybe that was a year or so ago, something like that. You did draft Titus Howard in the first round, you know, so people will probably have a high grade on him, but is he a foundational piece you want to keep around? And then you have, I forget the guard they drafted as well.
Max Sharping.
So you got to grade all these guys. They got Fulton, I think, too. You got to grade all these guys and figure out who you want to keep on the O-line to build around with Tunsil and who you don't. Is Titus Howard worth keeping? I think Titus Howard may be worth keeping. Maybe you keep both the other two tackles. And then you can start over with the interior. Because I don't think Nick Martin is as good as they hoped he would be when they paid him that money.
Yeah.
No, if you can get rid of him, I would.
Yeah.
But you got the other guys on rookie contracts. You're not going to get rid of that Tunsil contract.
Yeah. No, exactly. No way. And Max Sharping may be worth keeping around, too. I just don't know who the – it depends on the coach's vision.
Yeah.
And that's why it's hard to make these moves without a vision going forward. That's why it would be nice to have a GM before the trading line, but you don't have that. You got Jack Easterby?
Mm-hmm. Chaplin.
God bless you.
Thank you. Oh, you know what? God will be with us, though, when he makes these moves.
Right.
So that's good. That is good.
That is it'll help out. But,
that definitely will help.
But I think the God edge on that's got to be pretty close.
Yeah.
Like, the deal's already got to be close, and then God will put you over the edge, you know?
This is true.
Because God can't do all the work on
God
that.
Helps those.
He could,
helps,
but he won't.
He helps those
or
who
she
help themselves.
Won't.
Or she does. She won't. That's true.
Unreal. What about the Dallas Cowboys, gentlemen?
So that was my
also,
question to you
God
as a Cowboys
here.
Fan.
Speaking of God in prayer.
Yeah.
Speaking of needing a GM.
The Texans, it's obvious they're sellers, right? We got an article on sellers, and they're half of it. The Cowboys... Usually you would look at this team and that record, and they would be in that boat, but I think they're going to be maybe be doing a little bit of both, but probably buying, BK. You loving that?
They're leading the division.
Right, you're leading. Yeah,
you're leading the division.
You're leading the division. You could, how the could division you not go by
with a couple of good moves, BK?
Oh man,
let's go win the whole damn thing.
If there are, yeah, there's only one thing left to do. Right? We need that speech.
That?
If there is a way to pick up pieces who will be here beyond this year, maybe guys on expiring contracts that you can negotiate with this offseason at positions of need, a la safety, a la offensive line. Mm. Then maybe you make some phone calls to teams like Minnesota, who just made a trade earlier today, so you know they're selling. A team like Denver, like teams that are really out of things that might be trying to shed some contracts or shed some pieces moving forward. That's the only way you buy if you're Dallas, is if it's guys who are going to be here beyond this year. You don't invest into this 2020 football team. I know y'all are joking, but even though the Cowboys are in first place, this is clearly not a team that's going to make a run to the Super Bowl. Even if they had Dak, it's clearly not a team that would be making a run to the Super Bowl this year. So don't add anything for this year, but if there are some guys out there that maybe you can get to help you moving forward, then sure, make some phone calls.
What about, you mentioned Minnesota, and it does look like they're selling, especially after today. Anthony Harris?
The safety.
Yeah. There's safety for you.
Yeah, I mean, they need safety help, right? We don't have any evidence that says the Cowboys are all of a sudden going to put an emphasis on the safety position, because it's been two decades now, seemingly, where they haven't put an emphasis on the safety position. But, yeah, I mean, Anthony Harris is a really good player. I think he's 28 years old for the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. You know, that defense, I don't know what's happening with Minnesota.
I was wrong on that.
They won a playoff game last year. They kind of went all in on this year with the Yannick Ngakoue pickup. They figured they'd at least be relevant.
The defense should have been legit.
Well, that's the whole thing. I wasn't
apart on them.
I wasn't picking them because all of a sudden I had turned on Kirk Cousins. I thought everything around them, specifically the defense, was going to be so good they'd win a division like they have the last couple of years.
Selling now.
Yeah, so Anthony Harris is on a franchise tag this year, so you're going to have to pay him this offseason.
It's like $11.4 million for the safety position.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you don't have to pay all of that, right? Because
no,
Minnesota's already
paid
some of it since he's played six
good
games
point.
Up there. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if you give up a third rounder for a guy like that, like Anthony Harris for the next 3 or 4 years is better, more likely better than what you're going to get out of a third round draft pick this year. So he's a guy I would look at. Justin Simmons is a name that I've seen from Denver, who's another one of those safeties who is on a franchise tag year with Denver. He's another one of those guys. I think he's only 26, so a little bit younger than Anthony Harris. He was an all-pro last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's a good player, man.
You know, those are guys.
If you can get him on it.
If you can get those guys for like a mid-round pick, maybe even a second, but definitely a third, then I would consider it if you're Dallas. But, man, they need help. They need a lot of help. So I don't want them just throwing around draft picks all willy-nilly. Right, no Amari Cooper type trade where you're willing to give up your first round pick. You definitely need to keep that. And if you have a chance to make a move for a guy who can help you beyond this season, then you can give up a day two or day three pick. But that's about all I would do if I'm Dallas right now.
Rob, what are you doing? Are you buying? We were having fun with BK.
I think BK's right. If you can get a deal that can kill two birds with one stone, get someone that obviously can help you out this year, but more importantly, it's about next year and where they can help you be a kind of a building block for the future of the Cowboys, especially on defense, and I do it. I like his Justin Simmons idea. He's a really good player, actually. The Anthony Harris idea is good because those guys, if you're on the franchise tag, as BK mentioned, this is a good chance the team has probably paid $3 or $4 million of that already just because we're in, what, week 6 or 7. So, man, you probably can get them on the deal this year and you can renegotiate them. Most of those guys wanted that. That's the case. You know, Cowboys could end up renegotiating. And you look back at the Cowboys' most recent players they've acquired via trade, they've actually been decent. I mean, Robert Quinn was a good one. Amari Cooper, Michael Bennett was a good trade for the Cowboys. I mean, then there's the, you know, Tavon Austin. I don't know if that's a win or a loss.
They
for
didn't
you.
Give anything up for that dude.
Yeah, exactly, right? Jamizi Alawale, the fullback, wasn't bad. I mean, he contributed for you. So, I mean, the Cowboys have actually done a decent job of getting guys, but they haven't been in this position in a long time where they've been this bad. And as you mentioned, BK, you know, are you building for the future or are you really trying to win this pitiful division? Because if you are trying to win this pitiful division, that's short-sighted.
Right. It definitely is.
It's short-sighted.
But you can do it. You could win it. But you can go to the playoffs.
They're also lose to the Packers 56-3.
Never know, though. You never know.
They're also in this weird position, though.
I'm just joking. You do, though.
Yeah. Where historically, they're such a big franchise, right? But the last quarter century, the last 25 years, they've been with, we've pointed it out, those teams of Cleveland and Cincinnati and Miami and just the worst teams, the joke teams. That's really kind of more who they've been. So an organization like that would say, we're just trying to get to the playoffs and win a game, but we know that Dallas has bigger sights, bigger sights that their talent has not been able to get close to.
It depends on Jerry, right? Because if Jerry is, I don't know, kind of thinking along those lines and figuring, listen, we just need the Cowboys to be relevant as long as possible. And if we can make the playoffs and have the Cowboys be relevant in the playoffs, then you know what? We're buying. Because the Cowboys, relevant, we're going to make money. You know what I need to do right now? Make money, because my money's been split and cut because of COVID. So you know what? Let's just make the Cowboys relevant. Let's make some money this year, and then we'll worry about everything else later. Or do you get Jerry Jones, you know, thinking about the future and saying, hey, you know what? Let's try to put some building blocks together for Mike McCarthy. He's our guy of the future. Mike, how do you want to build this thing? And that's hard to think, because Jerry Jones, as you guys mentioned yesterday, he's old. And, you know, old people, you should live in the moment, and you should live for right now, because you old.
He's talked about that, too.
And it's COVID, all right?
Right.
You're old and it's a pandemic. So, hey, you know what? I told my dad, I said, Dad, don't be trying to save money for me and leave something for me. You should live and enjoy yourself. Like, spend the money, enjoy it. Go do your thing. If you don't do Robert Kraft enjoyment, but don't be cheap. Enjoy yourself.
Bob, if you're listening, save some money.
But you get my point. And I
got to drop off your ashes to all these stadiums.
What's influencing Jerry Jones' decision? That's what we don't know. Is it mortality, or is it... You know, entertainment? Is it cash? What is it?
Yeah, I mean,
that is probably the $1 million question.
Yeah, I think mortality has influenced the decisions he's made over the last 3 or 4 years, right?
I do too.
Why he's paying so many of these guys right now, like before they need to get paid, just to make sure that they're locked up sooner rather than later, so Zeke doesn't hold out, so Jalen Smith doesn't hold out. Even though those contracts are looking terrible right now, that's, I think, gone into the decision making for Jerry Jones over the last couple of years.
That's a good point.
So.
Well, why didn't you want to pay Dak then?
I don't know.
You know, everything you said made perfect sense.
Until you got to Dak,
he knew Dak wasn't going to hold out, because quarterbacks don't hold out usually. And he thought Dak was too good of a guy, so he could keep pushing that thing back. I guess that's the best explanation I have.
I could see that with Dak. Like, Dak's not, he's that busy, he's not going to hold out. And he didn't.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He was right. He didn't hold out.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the Cowboys potentially on the winning side of this negotiation, if Dak's value does drop because of the injury and everything else, unfortunately, they may have played it right. We just don't know right now. We're not in that situation.
This is sick, but this is the way GMs think. There are GMs around the league that when that happened thought, oh, that good. You know, kid's going to be all right, but good, because this is going to, next time we lowball our quarterback, it's good. You know, we're going to throw this out there and say, hey, it may not be everything you want. Take it, though.
Boom.
Bird in the hand.
Boom.
We talked about it.
Have you ever had a bird in the hand?
Bird in the hand is better than two in the bush?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two in the pink.
Two in the bush.
No, no, no.
Oh. Bird in the hand.
Okay.
It's like, don't pass up your for show for some mo.
For some mo. That's a good, better way to put it. It's a more modern way to put it.
We talked about it earlier this week, and we'll kind of put a bow on this situation, or on this conversation, I should say, and then send it off to One and Done. But I hope Mike McCarthy has a say in some of these personnel decisions with the Cowboys, right? I mean, we kind of know what we're getting from Jerry and Steven at this point in terms of personnel. Mike McCarthy is the great unknown, and he was in charge of a lot of the personnel moves up in Green Bay, and that team was contending for championships seemingly year after year under Mike McCarthy. Hopefully he has the power to go up to Jerry and Steven Jones. I know ultimately those guys make the final call, but hopefully McCarthy has the power to say, man, this Zeke contract, I can't win with this.
Yeah.
This Jalen Smith contract, can't win with this. DeMarcus Lawrence, we're paying this guy how much money for this production? I can't win you a Super Bowl, which is what you hired me to do, if we're paying these guys this money. So we've got to find a way to shed some of these contracts.
Yep. And man, going to see your boss and having that contract, that's basically what you're doing. You got to go to your boss and tell your boss, hey, boss, the way you're doing things sucks.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean.
Garrett never did that.
Yeah, so it's a tough conversation to have with your boss. That's what he's got to do. But I think you're right. I just don't know if he's willing to do it. He should be, though, because he's new. And him and Jerry, listen, they hung out, and Jerry Jones heard bells. So, I don't know if he, I mean, hell's bells, but
yeah. Bells. Still bells,
I mean, the bells from the Game of Thrones. Shame, shame. But he heard bells.
The bells from that Johnny Walker is what it was.
That's what it was.
All right, let's get to some one and done here, and we'll stick with the NFL, kind of add some college football to it, too, because the Big Ten is back. We'll go over that schedule a little bit and also talk about some of the guys who could be in that first round. Yes, mocks are flying out. It's early, but we're going to mock it up, or at least maybe mock the mocks in one and done.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time. It'll be nice to have the Big Ten back in the college football world this Saturday as they make their appearance. They are cutting it close, though, boys. We've talked about all those December 12th games that are all of a sudden being rescheduled. Heck, Baylor, who Texas is playing, hasn't played since October 3rd.
Yeah.
So you got to give those teams, those conferences, some love for giving them wiggle room with COVID. I think it's going to be really tough for the Big Ten. But we'll get there when we get there. We'll talk about that if and when it happens. Actually going to get started tomorrow night, Illinois at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's always one of those teams, guys, that you just kind of know they're going to be a solid football team, and you always feel like they're going to be well-coached. A lot of times they don't have enough speed, whether it's on defense, although their secondary was fantastic last year, but especially on the outside offensively. But you know they're going to have a big offensive line. You know they're going to have a run game. Do they have a quarterback to actually get something done? That'll be Illinois-Wisconsin, Big Ten Network tomorrow night. I'm not going to go through the whole schedule, but a couple games that do stand out. Nebraska at Ohio State. I think all of our eyes are going to be on Ohio State. They've been practicing for a couple weeks. And, guys, I mean, as we take a look at the college football world outside of the Big Ten, there is obviously an opening for an Ohio State team, maybe even to lose a game, but to win this conference and to get in. I think we're all expecting Ohio State to be in that thing. Fair?
Yeah. They're going to demolish Nebraska.
Yeah, 26.5 doesn't feel like enough.
Oh, is that the number?
That's gone up, too.
Wow.
People have been
that's
putting money
big,
on
that's
Ohio
a big number,
State.
Too.
That feels like 70-24.
Yes, they're
going to
beat the hell out of them.
Yeah. That will not be on Beat the Pluck coming up at 5:05, but Michigan, Minnesota will be. This is the only matchup between two top 25 teams as Michigan will go on the road to Minnesota. I'm curious to see Michigan's new quarterback. You know, we all thought it was going to be McCaffrey, and he ended up transferring because he got beat out. It's a taller kid who can run and throw. They like his mobility. So Michigan also in year number two of really with Josh Gattis trying to spread things out and trying to attack. And P.J. Fleck's done a hell of a job at Minnesota. So, you know, they lose. Rashad Bateman is not going to be in this thing. They've lost some people not only to the draft last year but also to COVID. But I'm curious. That'll be ABC 6:30.
And is Minnesota the favorite at home?
Or
are they
Michigan is a 3-point favorite on the road.
Ooh.
So a little early help with Beat the Pluck. Where y'all leaning
no,
with that?
Man, I think P.J. Fleck and
I'm
Minnesota.
I'm leaning Minnesota.
Yeah, something about the road. You know what? Let me find the number. I found this number. Go
what
ahead,
do you
BK.
Got, BK?
Bateman's playing.
Oh, he is?
He opted back in.
He opted back in. I knew Moore, Rondell Moore, opted back in, and Purdue will be hosting Iowa. I forgot Bateman did. That's
right.
Huge.
That's huge.
Here's
a number for you guys. Remember, all you degenerate gamblers out there.
I'm listening. Oh, sorry, my
and
cousin.
This is courtesy of SaturdayDownSouth.com. In major conference play, which in 2020 has amounted to the new Power 3 underdogs, are 40-32-2. 55% winning percentage. I mean, against the spread and profitable in the ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC. He said, basically, in 2020, he said, home underdogs from the Power 3 are, as a group, performing at a very high level in these spots. Teams are 20-10-1 against the spread. This includes 12 outright victories for the underdog. To put it into perspective, if you had bet the underdogs in all 31 games with a unit on the spread and a unit on the money line, you'd be plus 17 units overall.
Wow.
So home.
The year of the dog.
Home underdog specifically,
I got to check the Chinese Zodiac and see if it is the year of the dog.
Yeah. So underdogs, man, but home underdogs. So I don't know. Minnesota, that fits it. They fit it. They fit it perfectly.
Do you guys think that's the case because people are maybe overestimating not having a crowd and saying, okay, well, you know what? This is a neutral site. Well, it's still not neutral, even though the crowd and the sound won't have as big an impact.
It's interesting.
I'm kind of curious why the lines have been like that.
It's a fair thought. I got to deep dive into that, though.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, the Horns are 1-1 at home this year, mm-hmm. right? They covered the spread. Well, 1-1 outright and 1-1 against the spread, right? They covered against UTEP. They did not cover against TCU and also lost that game. So, yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting nugget right there.
Hey, Texas has been terrible then this year, right? So UTEP is the only game where they've covered. Because Texas Tech covered against them.
TCU
Oklahoma covered against them because Oklahoma won. And Texas didn't cover.
Right.
Because they then TCU.
Yeah.
So Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, 1-3 against
one
the spread.
And three.
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
And we're throwing out
and
the UTEP.
Neither, yeah.
We're throwing out UTEP, as we've talked about.
Yeah, you should.
It's not an incredibly sexy weekend for the Big Ten. I'll be curious to see Ohio State. But it's just nice to have them back. And you did realize them not being in the schedule. You know, I mean, all of a sudden you would get to these points on Saturday where you would expect to have a game there or a more competitive game, and the ACC may not give it to you or the SEC may not. So just having more options will be really nice. And, of course, it's also going to help out some players. There are multiple Big Ten players and maybe even some Pac-12 players, but certainly Big Ten players that the NFL scouts are talking about with first-round picks. And I've got 3 mocks pulled up. I will give you the obligatory, you know, it is October 22nd, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
but it'll allow us to kind of have some conversation about some of the college guys that we've seen. Guys, I continue to see Trey Lance, who's not in the Big Ten, but shooting up. In fact, I'm looking at one now where he is ahead of Justin Fields. Different shoot up there, BK.
Got you.
I know he's only playing one game, but he's not partying that much.
Okay, just making sure.
But he's ahead of Justin Fields, and I've actually seen that on more of these mocks where – it felt like it was going to be Lawrence has been one on every single one of them. Fields as the second quarterback, even if he's not the second pick, and then Trey Lance. But I've seen Lance on a bunch of these. I've got one where there are five quarterbacks going in the first round, which is all of a sudden you look at that and you go, okay, well, who are the other two? Someone who I mentioned yesterday, Zach Wilson, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've seen him in multiple first round picks now. So I think the things I talked about yesterday, that word is spreading around. I've seen Kyle Trask in a lot of these as well. In fact, there's probably 5 or 6 quarterbacks that could go because Mac Jones is another name that is really jumping on a lot of these. So I know we're only 4 or 5 weeks in. It's a limited data, but people are taking notice.
Yep.
As they should, and people always need quarterbacks, right? I feel like it's a conversation that I have internally, but also a lot of folks have, a lot of national pundits have, like, man, it feels like every team has a quarterback right now.
Yeah.
And how the hell are we going to have 4 or 5 QBs drafted in the first round of next year's draft? Because it kind of feels like everybody is set at that position or has a young guy at that position, yet somehow, some way, guys fail to live up to expectations, contract issues get in the way, whatever, and a bunch of teams end up needing a quarterback every single offseason. So that's why it makes sense to see 4 or 5 guys in the first round of these mock drafts. And hell, sometimes teams that don't need them take quarterbacks, a la Green Bay last year taking Jordan Love in the first round. So they're always going to go, or Philadelphia, great point. Mm. They're always going to go early. And, man, this year I think you can make a strong case for 5 of those guys. Kyle Trask, I'm a little iffy on. I still think there's a chance he does go in the first round. But, man, the other 5 guys you mentioned, the 3 obvious ones with Lawrence, Lance, and Fields, and then Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, all of those dudes are playing really, really, really well right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do go in the first.
Trask does not look like a first-rounder to me, and so I'd have problems there. I tell you who does, though, and is getting in that pretty high first-round category is Kyle Pitts, the tight end. We knew he was really good, but Kyle Pitts has just really elevated his stock and his value right now.
Well, and
in that position, too, right?
Exactly. I would say that position is increasing in value, too, trying to get matchup advantages on offense. And also, to BK's point, I think BK's around the money. We've already seen it, right? We saw the quarterback free agent market hit with this saturation of talent at quarterback when Jameis Winston is looking for a gig and Cam Newton is going at bargain basement prices. We've already seen it hit the free agent market. So there's no question. I wonder at one point how it's going to affect the draft market too, because I'm with you, BK. You got, you know, it's just supply and demand.
Yeah.
You don't have enough spots for all of the marquee potential franchise quarterbacks coming up.
No doubt. DBs should be a good draft for that. Patrick Surtain has looked pretty good for Alabama. Caleb Farley is a guy we've talked about a little bit from Virginia Tech who is sitting out, but they're really excited about what he can do. Tyson Campbell at Georgia. Georgia's got a bunch of those guys. So if you are in the Cowboys spot and you're thinking about a defensive back, someone that we need to go get around the probably where they're going to be picking, because I'm going to be optimistic for BK right now. I'm going to say you're not picking 18th or after that. If you're in the mid-teens somewhere, one of those guys will be around. You just got to pull the trigger at this point.
I appreciate that. Thank you for not wishing a Cowboys playoff berth.
I mean, it's more than possible.
No,
though.
It definitely is. Yeah, I mean, it feels like that's the position they need to address, right? I know they took Trayvon Diggs in the second round last year, and he looks to be like a pretty good player.
Yeah.
But they still need some help at corner and at safety. Plus, I mean, the guys that they do have at corner, I think everyone except for Anthony Brown is going to be a free agent after this year. I think it's Anthony Brown and Trayvon Diggs who are the only Cowboys corners who are under contract beyond this year. So Cheeto and Jordan Lewis and Darryl Worley, who's terrible, can cut that guy right now and they'd be a better defense. Those guys are going to be gone, so they're going to need bodies regardless.
So one guy this weekend to take a look at, obviously Justin Fields for Ohio State. Ohio State's going to have a bunch of guys. But Sean Wade, who is their next quarterback, cornerback. He's their next Okuda. He is their next guy.
Yeah.
And Rod, he started as
a slot corner. He's the dad that was protesting, correct?
His dad.
The Big Ten's decision, I mean.
Yeah, his dad was, and I'm going to end
protesting
one.
Protesting the eyes of Texas. No.
got to be specific about protesting these days.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to end one and done with that, and we still got a couple minutes here.
Sorry about
that. No, I'm glad you did, because his dad and some of the other parents, man, you got to give them a lot of love. Guys, I was trying to think in my lifetime of a movement that was really spearheaded by players and really parents that got as much done as they did, as successful to overturn something, to force a conference to say we made the wrong decision, even if they threw a little, hey, but things have changed in the last 3 weeks. No, at the end of the day, they forced them to make this decision. And I can't think of a group of parents and players that have done that. And Sean Wade's dad was a big part of that. Yep. Sean Wade, of course, had said he was going to sit out. Now he's going to come back and play. But he's definitely going to be someone to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm with you. I can't think of one, especially that happened kind of grassroots like it did. Man, it was grassroots. Social media is kind of where it started.
It helped out a lot.
It helped out a lot.
Give Justin Fields a lot of credit for that. Give Trevor Lawrence. They really came together. But for the Big Ten to get this back and for them to actually be football coming tomorrow.
I know people are not going to say it, but
I wouldn't buy it.
President Trump and that movement, it did help.
Trump probably did.
Thank you to Kevin.
Well, that was on you.
He is the president, and he got involved, so I'm going to say it helped, even though people were like,
I don't want to hear that.
It hurt it, yeah, but it helped.
Wade was a slot guy, but they're going to move him outside, and I don't know. I'm bringing up the defensive backs, obviously, for the Cowboys. That's a concern with him. Oh, no, it is.
Yeah, because he hasn't, you know, he really hasn't played.
He hasn't been a huge playmaker either. Yeah. He's just been a pretty tight cover guy inside. But if you're a Cowboys fan, there are going to be some cornerbacks and defensive backs around that spot, most likely around that spot in the draft. One more thing, if you're a Texas fan, of the four that I looked at today, only one Texas guy in one of them, and it was Sam Cosmi, who actually was going ahead of Alex Leatherwood, which is surprising because I really felt like at the offensive tackle spot, you'd get Penei Sewell, Leatherwood, and then guys like Cosmi would try and work their way in. Brad looked like he just smelled a bad fart. The Leatherwood behind Cosmi.
The fact that we're not seeing Cosmi in the first round is not good.
It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's wrong, right? I mean, I know Texas has not played well this year, obviously. Welcome to the year. And I know four of the five guys on the offensive line have been bad, so the unit as a whole has not been good. But Sam Cosmi hasn't done anything, in my opinion, to play his way out of the first round of the draft.
No, he's been fantastic. The four guys next to him, there are question marks. But if you look at PFF, and I know all of us look at that, his passing ratings especially, pass protection, they're better than last year.
Yeah. No, I think Pro Football Focus is going to help him because you'll be able to disassociate his play specifically, even if the film should show that anyway, like you said, BK, you've been watching the film. But if you can't, then you have Pro Football Focus to back it up with their grades. He also is playing at an elite level. But yeah, the rest of those guys, how I don't know how they aren't better when you have a first round potential pick on the offensive line with you, and all you got to do is figure out the other four. figure out the other four.
Yeah, the two on the right side are really weighing it down. And then the problem was you expected Kerstetter to give you at center what he gave you at right tackle. That hasn't happened. And let's be honest, I mean, Angle Owls had a rough year.
It would have been worth it for them to experiment with a different center and move back.
Yes.
And move Kerstetter back to right tackle.
Yeah.
But that fact that they weren't ready to make that contingency plan or execute it is unfortunate.
That was that Jake Majors idea that we threw out really early on at the start of the season. If he was able to take that spot, it would really alleviate some issues and let Kerstetter go back out to right tackle.
Yeah.
They could have worked on that over the bye week. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe they did on Sunday. Maybe you don't know.
That's a good point. Maybe they did.
We were number one.
There you go.
Maybe it was a Sunday fun day plan.
Baby. Love that. Good stuff. One and done. Talking some college football. Talking some 2021 NFL draft.
Big Ten is back, and I'm happy.
Big Ten is back starting tomorrow night. Mountain West is also back.
Yeah.
I expect tomorrow's one and done to be a full report on the Mountain West Conference.
No, you're not getting that.
Well, disappointing. It's disappointing. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. We've got Off the Record coming up. Some interesting COVID news, pretty good COVID news, plus another opportunity for y'all to win a pair of tickets to Texas Baylor up next.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers hanging out with Kevin Dunn and Brad Kellner. All right, gentlemen, this story comes from the great state of Texas. We shouldn't even have to say of Texas. We should just say the great state.
The great state.
Everybody will know what the hell the great state is, because honestly, it's the great state. It's the greatest state. All right, well, this comes from the state of Texas, Frisco, Texas specifically. There is a teenager, a 14-year-old, Anika Chabrolu. And if I mispronounce her name, I did not mean to do it because she's not jabroni.
Anika Jabroni.
Chabrolu.
You're about to say she's what? She's what? Hot?
She's brilliant. No, okay. She's brilliant. She's 14.
Oh yeah.
She can't be hot to me. She's brilliant. She.
I forgot we're doing the 14-year-old story. We made an audible late here.
We did.
I got jammed at the line of scrimmage.
We did.
Okay?
We changed stories literally right before we came on because you don't care about that. But we had to.
You've seen me on film for 4 weeks. I don't get off press.
We did. That was an audible there. So this young lady, 14 years old from Frisco, Texas, she won the 2020 3M Young Scientist Challenge and won a $25,000 prize for a discovery that could provide a potential therapy for COVID-19. Anika's winning invention uses in silico methodology to discover a lead molecule that can selectively bind to the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 virus. COVID-19.
All right.
The last 2 days, apparently, she said, there's a lot of media hype about my project since it involves COVID-19, and it reflects our collective hopes to end this pandemic as I, like everyone else, wish that we can go back to our normal lives soon. The coronavirus, of course, killed a lot of people. Anika, who is Indian American, submitted her project when she was in eighth grade, but it wasn't always going to be focused on finding a cure for COVID-19. Initially, her goal was to use in silico methods to identify a lead compound that could bind to a protein for the influenza virus.
Like most eighth graders.
Exactly.
That's what I was doing during the summer.
She's brilliant.
And I wouldn't.
She said, because of the immense severity of the COVID-19 pandemic and the drastic impact it had made on the world in such a short time, I, with the help of my mentor, changed the direction of my project to target COVID-19. And apparently she was inspired to find a potential cure to the viruses after learning about the 19 and 18 pandemic.
Jeez.
This young lady is unbelievable. So
yeah.
Her work is comprehensive and examined numerous databases. She also developed an understanding of different interfaces and all these different things, blah, blah, blah. But she did win an award, and she has actually furthered the research internationally in COVID-19 at 14 years old.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So we've got a cure?
No.
No.
But she helped. She's helping.
Then
you know,
I don't care.
Yeah. And how much? And how much? And by the way, how much do the mentor help? I mean, you know, who did the homework here?
I don't know. I think she's a genius, though.
I'm kidding. Of course she is. She's like 14 and even thinking about this stuff.
I know. What the hell?
Where's the cure?
I mean, the quotes you gave alone had my head spinning.
I have no idea what the hell I was reading at the time.
Right.
Because it's a molecule,
it's silicone. Oh, she's making breasts? No.
No, she's just brilliant.
Hey, Anika Jabroni, find the damn cure, okay?
Yeah.
I want to see the baby. I don't care about the labor. Show me the results here, all right? What we're paying you $25,000 here. Oh, I want something more than just this.
She's 14. Let's not go the baby route.
You're the one who used... That's true.
But I do have a show called Teen Pregnancy they promote.
That's true. That's true. Are they 14?
Society we're living on. I think that means they're teens.
Okay.
I know, but 19 and 14 is a little different.
I know. I don't know how young they are. I'm just saying it's teen.
Well, you're the one that's
Mom.
Watching this garbage.
I don't watch Teen Mom.
Oh, you don't?
It's just a show on MTV.
Okay.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to look up the youngest Teen Mom now. Continue, BK.
All right. Another quick.
She was 12.
What? Another quick COVID-19 story, guys, from some college students. So we're going a little bit up in age here.
Thank God.
Engineers.
Yeah, really.
And engineering students at MIT have designed a heated face mask to filter and inactivate COVID-19. So the current mask that we all wear just kind of serve as like filtration systems to make sure that the particles aren't going out or going in. But
our masks are more about protecting going out, right?
Right. About protecting, the saliva, the spit from your mouth from infecting or affecting other people.
That's hot.
But this mask actually inactivates viruses using heat. The researchers aim to build masks that incorporate a heated copper mesh. As the person wearing the mask breathes in and out, airflow repeatedly goes across the mesh, and any viral particles in the air are slowed and inactivated by that copper mesh and high temperature. So instead of just filtering out the COVID particles, this could actually kill COVID particles if it works. But once again, it uses a heated copper mesh filter, guys. I don't know if I want
that on your face.
Super hot.
Yeah.
They've got to find a way to prevent that from causing problems. So still some work to be done there, but more breakthroughs, apparently. That's all we have is breakthroughs.
Yeah, I've heard this because there's a machine that
not
you can
labor,
put
no baby.
In like your locker rooms that will basically, it filters the air and kills the virus in the air. We've got lots of breakthroughs happening. So at some point, somebody will come up with
boy, we're overusing the word breakthrough, aren't we?
No.
Well, because we haven't really broken through yet.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You guys.
There's one breakthrough here, and that's a cure/vaccine.
Our expectations are higher than yours.
If
you're going to spend your whole life in a library, let's have something to show for it.
You have to have little breakthroughs before you get the big one.
We need a different word for breakthrough then.
Okay.
Goals.
Advancement.
Advancement. Checkpoint. Like in Mario Kart or something, you reached a checkpoint here. Can't be calling all these breakthroughs, throwing that word around too willy-nilly.
There was a 16 and Pregnant at one point. It was a spinoff from Teen Mom.
Was the name of the show?
Yeah. It was called 16 and Pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
So technically, at least 16 was the youngest.
Yeah.
So I'm just
saying.
Okay,
all right.
Unfortunately.
So there's some COVID news. I guess positive COVID news.
That is positive COVID
some breakthroughs.
News. Come on, guys.
Some checkpoints.
Yeah. Oh, it's very impressive, the young lady at 14 who's doing that. I mean, she's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, she's going to be richer. She'll be hiring our kids.
That too. She's pretty nerdy.
Hey, before we go to break, as promised, your chance to win some Texas tickets.
The Randall's ticket window is now open. Text the keyword Texas to 512-451-5653 to enter to win a pair of tickets to this weekend's game. That's 512-451-5653 to receive the contest sign-up link right to your phone. You could win a pair of tickets to see UT take on Baylor from our partners at Randall's and the Horn.
We
might have to throw the Mike Breen in there.
Shooting the song.
Every time that sounder sounds. So do what that sounder said. We'll play that a couple of more times in the 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock hours of this program. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Texas and Baylor at DKR this weekend. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Coming up next, your chance to win some Pluckers gift cards. Our man Kevin Dunn is going for his 6th straight victory. The race for Sace in Beat the Pluck. We'll pick games against the spread with Dave Paul of Pluckers next.